Hi, I'm Yash Gupta. I'm the dean of the newly created Carey Business School at Johns Hopkins University.
And I'm Elizabeth Tracy. Welcome to this month's Great Ideas. So may I call you Yash?
Please do.
Thank you so much. And so tell me something. The newly created Carey Business School at Johns Hopkins, why did Johns Hopkins want to create a business school?
Well, the reality is the great business schools are great demand. Good business schools always create great leaders. In our nation, our society needs great leaders.
This sounds like a very laudable and lofty objective. How are we going to satisfy this objective?
Well, I think if you want to create great leaders, first and foremost, make sure that you have leveraged everything that you have as a university. The world needs great leaders that make a difference in people's lives. That's the motto of Johns Hopkins University.
This is really fascinating. I'm fascinated because it sounds like such a really fabulous coalescence of all the resources of the university.
Absolutely. The reality is the world needs new leaders and new kind of leaders. The leaders are not only concerned about maximizing the shareholder value. They're concerned about how to make a difference in the societies in which they operate. Our world is in distress. Because we have a billion people living $1 a day, half of the world population lives in $2 a day. A billion people do not have access to clean water. 40% of the women in childbearing age are anemic. What a world in which we live in. And yet it's the same part of the world where the population is going to grow by 50% in the next 45 years.
Right. And then we have our population that is just flagrantly out there abusing, really, resources.
Oh, absolutely. However, you have to understand where the workforce is going to come from. We are aging population in the United States. Our average age is now about 40. If we're aging population, the customer is not here. The customer is somewhere else. The worker is not here. The worker is going to be somewhere else. We better figure out how we make those individuals, those countries, that regions, those parts of the world where the customer resides. And failed communities do not produce successful businesses. Poor communities cannot create unless we make sure their economic development is a cornerstone of businesses' zeal, quest for success.
Does this suggest that you are thinking more about outsourcing?
No, I'm not thinking about outsourcing anything. In fact, what I'm thinking about is to creating new kinds of leaders, that they will create new businesses, the businesses that are not necessarily best in the world, but they're best for the world.
This is an incredible objective. What personal background do you bring to this particular mission?
I have lived in 3 continents and worked in 3 continents. I hold 3 citizenships. I hold 3 passports. I have traveled more than many people that they would even imagine. So all these things have done one thing, is given you understanding of different cultures. It gives you a sense of humanity. And that's fundamentally important for creating new leaders. That they understand that the values are anchored in reality. They understand that making a difference is the first and foremost important thing than maximizing shareholder value. If you make difference in the customer's life, if you make a difference in the community's life, the community will pay you handsomely. The returns come in a different form, but significantly better, and more importantly, more impactful.
You sound like you are trying to impose a lot more humanity on the business model than I think I've ever heard before.
Oh, absolutely. The way I look at this is humanity drives people. The workers are people. Customers are people. So therefore, first and foremost, we must engage these people to create successful businesses. And these people have problems. If we don't solve their problems, how can we expect them to solve our problems?
So much of what you're describing resonates for me in what I've thought of as a shift in undergraduate education to encompass a more global perspective, and also to realize that we are citizens of a world that is increasingly getting smaller. It sounds like that's what you're trying to export to a business school.
Very much so. Very much so. Look at it this way. As I said, the population is growing. At the same time, we see our need as a nation, our society, is immense. Our challenges are immense. We are now have a mosaic of cultures. How do we engage them? They have their own issues, their own problems. How a citizen of the world today must engage these people, make a difference in people's lives. One, the explosion of information. Unbelievable. I read somewhere, in fact, that if you fast forward to 2050, the knowledge base of 2050, that time, will be 100 times more than what it is today. We will be doubling a knowledge base in the world every 73 days. How do we have ability for our students to have intellectual flexibility? And what I mean by intellectual flexibility is go back to European Renaissance time. Da Vinci is a good example. Da Vinci was trained as a military engineer, yet we know his artistic powers, his ability to be scientific treatise, which allows us even today deal with issues of the sciences. That's still valid. That's what I call intellectual flexibility, where the students will be called upon to a lot more things than what they require today. They'll be changing their career. A student and an individual will be changing 7-8 times their career, not jobs. And these careers will be different. As the science is developed, we will see new industries are formed, new way of doing businesses are formed, new way of interacting with our community will be created. So we have to make sure our students understand humanity and humanities. They must understand science and technology. They must understand people's issues. They must understand finance and banking.
So how will the Carey Business School differ from other very prominent business schools that already exist?
Those prominent schools are very prominent because they have perfected a certain model. And those spaces are taken. And I'm afraid the success also breeds contempt to change. Because if you've been using the recipe for over and over and been successful, why would you want to change the recipe? Yet the world is changing. So one of the things which is to our advantage is we are new. And therefore, we will look at the scan of the world as it stands today and as it will stand in 50, 60, 100 years. That's the privilege that we have the other schools do not. And in the world that we create a unique feature, first and foremost, is a humanistic approach. That is different. It's significantly different from existing premier schools. Second, I think if we deal with the humanistic approach, we never forget science. Science is changing dramatically. 30 years ago, we had no internet. Yet it's one of the fastest use of technology in our midst. The Human Genome Project, a sequence of human genome, will revolutionize in as much the food industry as the pharmaceutical industry, the security industry, the insurance industry, and many industries that we don't know. So, in a nutshell, if you would engage science and humanities as epics, I think we can create a different kind of school with a different knowledge base, and we create innovation. That's what Hopkins is known for. We have the largest research base of any university in the United States. If we have the largest research base, our students need to learn how to engage in research. Our students need to learn how to convert the research in applications for the help of humankind.
As I said, I'm just astonished and frankly awed by this mission. I wonder, though, I have seen data suggesting that the number of people obtaining MBAs is declining, even among the elite schools. How will a new school overcome those particular obstacles?
But that's the fun. That absolutely is the fun. If world is growing, then we'll get our share, they'll get their share. What's the fun? Fun really comes when you create a unique brand, a unique school with a unique set of experiences the students will have.
Very good. So what about resources? What do you need to do in order to make this goal a reality?
In academia, there's never enough resources. There is a reason for that, because we are defining the future. And future is just as uncertain. An uncertain future requires significantly more resources than ever. One. Two, if our desire is to spread the word, then more the merrier. So in that respect, the resources are never enough. But I believe people want to make a difference in life of others. People want to leave legacies. There's not shortage of money. There's shortage of ideas. People want to transform the society in which they live. So private philanthropy will be very important for this business school. Because we're redefining business education. We're creating a new kind of school. I think there's a sense of excitement. Challenges? Absolutely. Excitement? Incredible.
Could you just define your metrics for success? What's going to mean success to you in terms of the development of this school?
Well, I think I can define many metrics for myself. But metrics of mine is not that important. Metrics of others are important. So I will let other people to define those metrics. But I can assure you one thing, no matter what metric that might be, would measure up.
Are there any other things about your personal goals, about your own philosophy that's going to be incorporated into the Carey Business School, or anything else that you'd like to share?
Well, I think this is going to be an exciting place. It is like a nirvana. And as far as I'm personally concerned, I feel like a kid in the candy shop. Can you imagine the privilege of creating something new and creating a new school, an institution like Johns Hopkins? You already have the door open for you. The fact it's Johns Hopkins. People struggle just to get a little opening through the door. And it's incumbent on us to make sure that we live to the standards, the quality, the sense of excellence Johns Hopkins espouses.
Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.